I specifically feel this week, usually when I speak, this is how I feel, but this week specifically, I feel I have a word that God has placed on my heart that I'm excited to share with you. So I want to start out with a bit of a story. Back 3 years ago, my wife and I had some friends visit us from out of state. They were coming to a wedding, so they stayed with us in our home. And my oldest daughter was only a year old then. And my one friend was so excited because they didn't have kids of their own. And he was very excited to get to meet her and hang out with her. And he was amazing. He would help feed her. He would hold her. He'd walk with her. It was just amazing. He just lit up around her. It was such a joy to have them there. And while he was there, we were sharing how, and I'm not proud of this, so you'll have to give me a little grace in this, okay? But I was sharing with him how at that season of her life, my wife basically took care of taking her to all of the doctor's appointments and things like that, which is fine. You know, I had all kinds of reasons. My first one was she's in the medical field already, so she knows what needs done. You know, it's good. But when it all boiled down to it, I gave him my list. And then at the very last thing, I said, also, I really don't like seeing her in pain. I don't like seeing, you know, Chloe, when she gets her shot, she cries, and then she gets all upset, and there's nothing I can do to help her. I just feel bad, so I don't really like being in that position. And he made this comment, and he said it in a very non-judgmental way. He wasn't trying to, like, put me down or discourage me, but it was one of those comments that just, like, burned you a little bit. And he said, oh, man, if I had kids, I feel like I would just want to experience everything with them. It's like, yeah, easy for you to say with no kids in your life, right? Yeah, easy for you to say. But that one just stuck with me. And I remember days, weeks later, I had that term, that phrase that he said, man, if I had kids, I'd just want to experience everything with them, just burning in my brain. And I took it to prayer one day because it just kept coming up. And I'm like, am I being a bad dad? What's going on? Like, is this something, you know, that is going to harm my kid later on in life because I'm avoiding this? What's really going on here? So I took it to prayer. And I said, Lord, you know, what is this all about? What am I supposed to do with this? You know, and how this I'm feeling about this. And he spoke a word to me very clearly. And he said, John, what kind of father am I? And I don't always love it when God answers my question with a question. But we all know he does this sometimes, right? He does this all in the Gospels. We see this consistently. And so he asked me, what kind of father am I? And that led me on a journey to dive into the Word to discover what kind of father he was. Because I had some ideas, I had some concepts, many of them based on my experience with his Word and everything. But I wanted to know. I wanted to say, okay, what is he actually saying to me through this? So I dove in and I discovered some things. And in that discovery is what leads us to today. Because we've been talking about experiencing God. And a main part of experiencing God, I believe, that we need to have in our lives is experiencing him as a father. And as we can experience him as the true loving father that he is, it then leads us to have that heart for revival towards him, that heart of passion towards him to say, I want to run to him. I need his help. I want him to be in my life. I want to be around him. Because I believe that each one of us have an innate desire placed in us that we want to have a relationship with our dad, whether it's our earthly dad and our heavenly father as well. And I know when I'm talking about this for some of you here, and I want to preface this, that's traumatic to hear. Anytime I talk about God being our heavenly father, you have some trauma from your past that comes up. You cringe a little bit because of what you experienced with your earthly father and the abuse and the neglect and the things that took place in your life. And I want you to know that is not a representation of God. And God wants to demonstrate to you what a true loving father is today. But you need to put that away from you as you're walking through this time this morning. And I know that's hard to do, and I'm asking a lot. But if you can do that, you will experience his love in an awesome way today. And for some of you, maybe your experience wasn't that way. Maybe you had a good father. And you still have some preconceived ideas about God based on what your father did, whether good or bad. And God's saying, I want to show you what the true love of the Father, of God our Father, is like. So today we're going to dive into this. And I want to start with a passage found in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we'll highlight each portion a little bit as we dive into it. It's Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4. And it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. All right. So this is our passage for today, and you'll notice it doesn't mention Father once in it, right? Don't get concerned or worried, because I believe all of these point to something in how God as our Father wants to express his love to us, okay? And so we're going to walk through this day. It's going to be really powerful, I believe. I believe God wants to do a work in us. So the first thing I want to point out is in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 4 and 5, just those two, and the emphasis I'm going to make is my first point. It says, your Father wants to call out the greatness he has placed within you. He wants to bring you to life. He wants you to activate what he's placed within you, because that's the heart of the Father. Let's read Ephesians 2 once more here. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. I love this, that it squeezes in that it is by grace you have been saved. And Ephesians does this all over the place to remind us it's not that we deserved it. It's not that we earned it, but simply because we are his child, he has given it to us. It is a free gift he's given us because he loves us that much. God has placed amazing and great things within you and within me, within everybody, because we're made in his image. So the very image of God is on our lives, that he's endowed us with greatness within us. And maybe you're walking in here, maybe you're feeling to yourself, I don't feel very great. It's easy for somebody that's doing great things to say that. It's easy for this person or that person, but I don't feel great. Like, what's God giving me that's so great? And I could go over a whole list with you. The first thing is, if you're a believer, he's placed his Holy Spirit within you. He's placed gifts and talents and abilities. He's given you incredible things that are unique to you. And he's made you great. And he wants to call out those great things in your life. God's been teaching me, actually, through my wife, this incredible skill she has, that my girls love to do painting with watercolors, okay? People, you've seen this, you know this. To me, what this often turns into when the girls are painting with watercolors is the pages are all over the place. There's some upside down that start to stick to the surface, so when you peel them off, there's a residue of the paper left on the counter or on the floor, wherever it is that they decided to do it. The water's been tipped over. It's wet everywhere. Paintbrushes and colors all over everything. Right, yeah. So you got the eyes, too. I walk in, and my first thought is, what a mess. This is such a mess here. My wife has this amazing ability. She can walk in the midst of that, see the same thing I'm seeing, but then instantly her reaction is, wow, look at that picture you made. This is an incredible masterpiece you've done here. This is amazing. And she sees the page that they have that to me might just look like lines and shapes, and she says, oh, this is a picture of our house. This is our family, isn't it? And she's right on every time. I try to do it too, and they're like, no, Dad, that's not right. You know, and she just has this amazing gift to see the things in them, the greatness that God has placed in them, in the midst of the chaos that's around them. And God has that same gift for you and me. And as I say, he's working on me with this too, to say that, wow, other people look in and they say, what a mess. They say, what's this person doing? But God looks in and says, what a masterpiece. This is incredible. The greatness I've placed in you to do these amazing things, and I'm able to use this for good. Even though it looks like chaos to other people, maybe even you yourself, you're like, I don't know what I just did. I need help. I don't know. But God says, I'm able to do a work with what you have within you. I'm able to bring greatness from it because I put greatness within you. And I've called you to do great things. It talks about this a little later on in Ephesians chapter 2, actually, in verse 10, it says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has great works for us to do, and he's made us great to do them. And it's this incredible thing that he's done. And maybe you're struggling with feeling great. I want to read this verse to you as well. It's in Psalms 139, starting at verse 13, and it's 14 as well. This is a popular verse. It says, "For you were you created my inmost being." This is David talking to God. He says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." God made you great, and his heart as your heavenly Father is to call out the great things in you so that you can do the great things he's called you to do. The great works that he has planned and purposed for you, the things that he has in your future, and he's saying, if you will hear from me, hear, see yourself as I see you, you are then empowered to step out in the great work that I have for you. And if we as Christians, we as believers can grab a hold of that and step out, we will accomplish amazing things for God. My oldest daughter, again, Chloe, when she was first born, literally minutes old, my wife went through like a 30-plus hour labor. It was horrific, just a nasty experience. Had to go for emergency C-section, and they take Chloe out of her, clean her up, and then they hand her to my wife to hold, and she's holding her, and then after this exhausting experience, she's sobbing, just, you know, the overwhelmed with emotion, just everything. She's just crying and sobbing and holding her, and my daughter, Chloe, literally minutes old at this point, just starts tapping her shoulder as if to say, "It's okay, Mom. It's okay. You know, I'm here now. It's okay." And I witness this, and I'm welled up with emotion seeing this and just saying, "Wow, this is amazing. What an expression of compassion." Then a few years later, she's a couple years old, and a friend of mine's telling me about an accident that her husband was in. And my daughter's with me as she's explaining the situation. My daughter instantly hears what happened, and she says, "Dad, we have to help him. We've got to go. We got to, you know," and she just had this overwhelming sense of compassion in her that she wanted to do something to make a difference. And I see that as a great thing God has placed within her, literally from minutes old to 2 years old. There's other times that she's expressed this. Now, don't get me wrong. She makes mistakes too, as we all do. You know, it's not like, you know, she's perfect, but she's growing in this, and I see that in her, and I want to remind her all the time that God's placed this great sense of compassion in your life. God has called you to help other people. God has called you to do this because he's put that in there. And I, as a father, I get to witness that, and I get to call that out in her. And God wants to do that with you. He says, "Listen, I've placed this within you, this yearning, this desire you have, this thing that you want to do to help people and be a blessing. I put that there. Activate it. Walk in it. Live in it. Even when the world tries to beat it out of you or say this is foolish or this isn't what you need to do, God says, I've placed that there. Act on it. Do what I've called you to do because I've placed great things within you." And that is God's heart because he sees it in us, because he put it there, and he says, "I want you to walk in this." And that's the heart of your Father for you, is he wants to communicate those things to you. We'll come back and talk a little more about that, but I want to run to our next point here, number two. It says, your Father wants to be with you. And this sounds simple enough, right? We know this as Christians. Okay, God wants a relationship with me. He sent his son Jesus to die for me. We know this. Verse 6 of Ephesians 2 that we read earlier says this, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." It's awesome. It is amazing that God did this. Now, this word for seated, when I was researching this is what really just jumped out at me here, because I dove into the original language. This word that the Greek word they use for seated here is only used one other time in the entire Bible, and it's in Ephesians as well. And it's, because when we think of seated, we're like, okay, you're sitting down in a chair, right? That to sit down, you know, that's what it sounds like. But this Greek word is more than that. This is talking about authority. It's talking about unity. And it's talking, it doesn't actually mean family, but when you read it, it sounds a lot like family, like what family was designed to be. And it talks about oneness. So Jesus, what he's literally saying here through his word, is that God has seated us. He's put us at the table with God, with Jesus himself, that we have authority, we have a oneness, we have an ability to approach him, to be right eye to eye, face to face with him. And it's this incredible picture, that as I read this, I believe God just gave me, of a family sitting down at a meal together. Not at a huge, ginormous table that you're 20 feet away from each other, but at an intimate little table, having a meal together. I want you to picture this in your imagination, okay? You're a family, you're sitting together at a table, you're having a meal together, you're sharing, telling stories about the day, things are going great. And then in this illustration, as I pictured this, what came to mind is like a teenager, okay? And not like the too cool for school teenager, but a teenager that loves their family, loves being there, you know, and they're involved, they're chatting and just sharing, almost like they're so excited you can't stop them from talking, and they keep interrupting every story because they just want to share what's going on and their input on it. Anybody experience that? Okay. So think of that, and then put yourself in the position of that teenager. Think of yourself as that teenager. And then as you're experiencing this amazing unity, this amazing time with your family, with your father, that you remember you did something that you know your dad wouldn't like, right? And all of a sudden, there's a closeness. You might be able to mask it a little bit, play it kind of cool, but there's something you're holding back. And now you're not able to experience the full extent of that love, not because the father's view has changed at all, but simply because you feel if he knew what I did, he wouldn't love me the same. He wouldn't treat me the same. It would ruin what we have here. So you hide it. So you bury it. So you keep it discreet. So you feel, oh, I can't talk to him the same way. You almost avoid him now. You know, you're not interrupting anymore. You're more embarrassed to even chime up and give your input in the family time here. And many of us as Christians go through seasons of this in our life too, where we're holding back, we're hiding, not because God's view of us has changed at all, because God says, my love is unconditional. Nothing can separate you from my love. My dad quoted last week Romans 8, 38 through 39, that height nor depth nor anything in this world will keep us from the love of God. And that's his heart for us. The prodigal son story in Luke 15 illustrates this perfectly, that even after the son embarrassed his father, went off, wasted everything he was given, that he was still looking for him, still there with wide open arms, saying, I can't wait for you to come home again. And that is God's heart for us. He wants to be with us. But when we hold back and we try to hide and we feel ashamed and the guilt and we carry this with us and we don't confess it, we don't just give it over and say, I made this mistake, I need your help, we hinder that relationship for us because we are the problem in that. We're holding back. There's this meme going around online that I just absolutely love. And it says there's these two mindsets. And these mindsets either hold us back or help us in this. The first one is you think, oh man, I messed up. My dad's going to kill me. And many Christians walk around with that mindset. I messed up. My dad's going to kill me. I can't let him find out about this. Or when he does, I'm going to be in so much trouble. It's going to really ruin this relationship. And I'm telling you today, God's heart is not for that. He wants to be with you. He wants to help you through everything you walk through. The other half of that is this mindset, which I want to encourage you to have. It says, oh man, I messed up. I need to call my dad. And that is God's heart for us, that we say, wow, I made a mistake. I messed up. I need his help, and I'm going to let him know everything that I did. And God will not condemn you. He will not shame you. He will be there with open arms saying, okay, let's get through this. You may have to deal with some consequences from it. You may have to deal with some hardships, but not because he's bringing them on you, because he's helping you walk through it. He's helping you to get better. And his heart is to be with you. My third point for today is your father wants to be known by you. I was tempted when I was preparing this is that your father wants to know the real you and stuff, but he's God. He knows you already. He created you. He knows everything about you. Where he wants to be known by you. He wants you to know him. Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 3 says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer. I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And Daniel 11:32b, I love this. It says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. When we know God, we're equipped for what he wants to do in our lives. We're equipped to act according to his view of us. We can see things as He sees us. And this has been my prayer recently as a dad, as a pastor for His people, is that I would see people, whether they're my own children or people that I interact with, as He sees them. Because if we as believers can see people as God sees them, we'll not feel that they're too far gone. We'll never think that they're without hope, that they can't be healed, that they can't experience the wholeness that God has for them, because He loves them and He's able to do all that. And we need to see people around us as God sees them. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, because He's called us to do that. In John 15, verse 15, it says this: I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Yeah, it's awesome, right? God calls us His friends, because He is as interested in being your friend as He is in being your Savior. He needed to save us. We're all sinners. We all needed salvation. But He is equally interested in being your friend as He is in being your Savior. Because that's why He sent Jesus to die for us, is to spend eternity with us, for a relationship, so that we could walk with Him. That is the Father's heart for us, is that we would know Him, that we would be with Him, and that we would see ourselves as He sees us, that He can call out the great things in our lives. His heart is full of love towards you today. I want to invite you to stand to your feet, and I just want to invite the worship team to come forward. And I asked them during this end time here to play the song Good, Good Father. Familiar song, something that I believe really demonstrates admiration towards God for who He is our good, good Father. And before, or even as they're beginning to get into that, I want to ask you to just bow your head, close your eyes right now. Because there's several camps of people here. I know we're all in different places, different stages of life. But God's doing amazing things in each and every one of us. So I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, just to yourself. You can say it out loud if you want. You can say it to yourself, whatever you want to do. But Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Maybe He's saying, there's this great thing I've placed in you, and it's laying dormant. You're not activating it, and I want you to start moving out in it. Maybe He's saying, I want to be with you, and you're not giving me the time. You're not giving me the space to speak to you. Maybe He's saying, you need to grow in your knowledge of me. You need to know me better. Whatever He's saying, I want you to respond with what you feel God's telling you to do. So this is a personal thing, but if you're here and you desire prayer, you want ministry, or you want prayer for anything, God is here to meet with you today. And I invite you to come forward. Our ministry team is here during this song, and then I'll come up right after the song and we'll close out the meeting. But as this is going, just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And then respond accordingly. If you are here and you need encouragement, you need somebody to pray with you about anything going on, we want to do that with you. Then we'll come up shortly after this song and close the meeting.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's seen. Man is searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. 'Cause you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, is love so undeniable? I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love. 'Cause you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good Father. Regardless of our past experiences, regardless of what we have gone through, what we have had happen, you are the good Father. And I thank you for your unconditional love, that we can partner with you, that we can join with you, we can put aside any shame, any guilt, any hindrance, so we can serve you wholly and completely without being hindered by anything. Lord, I speak hope, I speak healing, I speak wholeness over your people that are here today as they walk out in the knowledge of your love for them. I ask that you would help them to have your eyes to see themselves as you see them, God. I thank you for it. Bless them as they go out from here today to share the love that you share with them with the world that is in desperate need of it, God. I thank you for that privilege and that honor to share your love. Lord, bless them as they go. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. As always, it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you. If you have any questions, you want to talk about anything, more prayer, anything like that, feel free to come up to me. I'd love to be there for you. God bless you.